Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome back to the Burden and Blessing Podcast. We are taking another look at our next topic in our debate series. I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel, and I'll be moderating our debate today. Joining me are Pastors Neil Radical and Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. They're going to be debating our topic today. The topic for debate in our podcast today is the existence of God. And so arguing for the existence of God will be Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. Arguing against the existence of God will be Pastor Neil Radical. Now, if you're tuning in, if this is the first time you're listening to one of our debate podcasts, the format is to kind of simulate a debate. Obviously, Pastor Neil Radical this morning does not actually agree with arguing against the existence of God, but our attempt here at Burden and Blessing is to simulate a discussion or a debate that you might have with somebody who does not believe the Christian position and give you some options and some opportunities, some things to pick up on in an apologetic sense to defend your faith. So that's what we're simulating today. So we're going to have a couple different rounds here where they go back and forth and debate this topic, and then we'll end the debate at the end, and we'll kind of just have a recap discussion among the three of us. Okay, gentlemen, are you ready to go?
Ready.
Let's get started. So again, the topic is the existence of God. Nathaniel is arguing for that, and Neil is arguing against that. We're going to start off with Nathaniel. Give us your opening statement.
All right. I would start with the proposition that going from science, we want to base this on the existence of what we see around us and the evidence that we have around us. So we know that the universe had a beginning, and there are two specific laws of nature that apply in every other aspect of life that I would start off with. Number one is the law of abiogenesis, that life does not come from non-life. So if we have life in the universe, that life had to come from something, something that had life before it. That in itself demonstrates that God does exist, that God created the world from the very beginning. It just isn't possible for all of the life that we have today to come from nothing, from chance, or from a big bang. The second law that I would direct our attention to would be the second law of thermodynamics, also known as entropy, the fact that we have this running out of usable energy. And if you take a look at that, we recognize again that since there is a certain amount of finite energy, that had to have a beginning at some point. So it's kind of like gasoline in your car. If you put a certain amount of gas in your car and you run it and you run it and you run it, sooner or later it's going to run out of gas. We see this within the universe. And if you go backwards, it tells us that this universe that we live in at one point had a beginning, that God created it. So as we take a look at the world around us, every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, that even the laws of nature demonstrate that there is a God who has created the world that we live in.
Neil, your reaction.
I like that you started with science, Nathaniel, because you know, you first mentioned demonstrates that God exists. I would just say it demonstrates that science is a proven fact, you know, that we can base our understanding of our existence on what we can see, what we recorded, what we can look around and you use the example from your Bible, from Hebrews, about, you know, faith is understanding that the worlds have been formed, you know, but the whole point about science is not having to go on faith, but understanding the truths that we see around us, the truths that we can measure and understand through science. So I think it's a contradiction for you to say, we're going to use science and then we're going to prove God by that science, when you're really trying to do the opposite. And I could ultimately say that, why even mention God? You want to prove that your Bible is correct, when I could just say, well, my teddy bear is God, or you know, whatever, whoever that might be. It's this idea of science proving that there is a God. I don't think you can say that, And I know you're going to argue against me and say, well, I can't prove evolution or that God doesn't exist with science. But I think science does show us that as we look at the order of things taking place, we see how there is an evolution of things happening in the world around us, and things are continuing to progress. You mentioned the law of entropy and things running out, but you know, there's evidence of the formation of stars in our galaxy. There's evidence of this ongoing expanse of the universe, and science is teaching us those things. As we observe the world around us, as we observe nature, we're seeing that, yeah, these things are happening over a long period of time. It doesn't prove that there's a God. It proves that what's happening here is something that we can observe with our own physical eyes and measure with tools and measure the reality of the things that are happening around us.
Okay, we're on to round two. Nathaniel, you're going to open up round two again. You can react to Neil's sentiments, or you can begin a new thought. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I would like to react to his response. If you want to believe that your teddy bear is God, that's fine with me, but it's a pretty foolish assumption. So the fact that you would believe that your teddy bear would be able to bring the creation, everything that we see, into existence, that's foolish. But ultimately, you have to give an answer for how and where did this world come from. It had to come from something. That's what we have as far as the laws that we have in place. You've got a base where it all came from the evidence that we have. I'd like to propose a second argument for the existence of God too, and that is the very design that we see in the world around us. As we take a look at the world that we live in, we can see that this world is finely tuned specifically for life. Let's look at some of the specific scientific examples of this. The oxygen level on Earth sits at about 21%. If you adjust those percentages either up or down, either one way or the other, life doesn't exist. The fact that you've got the gravitational force of the moon and the Earth and the sun at just the right spot, if you change that just a little bit, life isn't possible. There are 122 different constants that are necessary in order for life to exist. If you just remove any one of those, life doesn't exist. That cannot happen by chance. It cannot happen by chance. When you walk by a building and you see that building being constructed and you don't see any workers there, you don't assume, oh, wow, that's pretty amazing. All of those building pieces, they just floated together and put themselves together. We know, whether we see them or not, that someone was there creating, building that thing because it shows the example of design. That's what we have. The science, the evidence around us points to a designer, to a creator. It points to the existence of God. And God doesn't want us to just say, you know what, I want you to believe in God. He tells us who he is, and he reveals that to us in the Bible. He wants us to know who he is, and he's given us the evidence and the creation around us.
Neil, over to you for your second statement.
You know, I like the fact that you're giving these specific examples of science, and you bring it back to my teddy bear illustration. But all I'm saying, what you're doing there, is you're labeling what science has proven is going on around us to your God. So in other words, you're fine with me believing it's a teddy bear. I'm making a mockery of that. I don't believe it's a teddy bear. I believe it's science. But you're basically saying that your God, you believe in this God that it is doing all this science around us. You know, in other words, you can label it whatever God you want. You want to label it the God of the Bible because you're pointing to that's how all this came to be. My point is that why would we say it's your God or my God or a teddy bear or anyone? Because you came back to the point with your examples of science that, hey, you and I, we weren't there for that. But you said someone was there. And my point to you is that how can we say that that's a God? You're labeling it as a God, but we're agreeing that we're saying nobody was there for that. And I'm saying science is the proof that we've brought things to where they are now. And in your own faith, in your own religion, your own belief system, your confession, you're saying it is faith in trusting someone that you never met. It's faith in trusting in something that you were never there for. And so ultimately, the point is that you can't prove that God exists any more than you would say that I could prove evolution is what took place. And so my challenge to you is saying, okay, if we're understanding that science and understanding how things are by what we are observing, that doesn't prove that there's a God. It's simply saying that we are going by what we can see and based on in the evidence in the world around us today, right now. That's what I meant by the labeling, is that we can label it whatever we want because we weren't there. And the whole point is that the evolutionist understands that we are observing this by nature and by what we can prove by what's going on around us.
Okay, so just to give us a brief recap of where we're at, we're debating the existence of God. Nathaniel brought in his opening statement, two of the natural laws in the world around us. He also brought in just the idea of design in the world around us and how that beckons to some sort of creator, some sort of divine origin. Neil has responded to those claims by saying he understands where Nathaniel's coming from by labeling those things with the scientific explanations, but he doesn't see the same cause as Nathaniel sees by giving it the definition of God. Neil's arguing primarily for simply the natural observation of it. So that's kind of where we're at in the debate right now. We're going to bring in our closing statements right now, our final summaries of the debate, and we're going to start with Neil. Neil, your closing statement.
I think ultimately we get back to if we're going to label the universe as being created by God, we ultimately are left with the question, if we are looking at God as who is the author of all these things, then he did kind of a messy job. Because we ultimately understand here that all the problems that we have in the world today, God doesn't care about. If you believe that God created the world, then where is he? Then why is there all this death? Why there's a pandemic right now? Why are all these people dying? God obviously doesn't care. So you want proof that God doesn't exist? Look at the world around you. Look at the death. Look at the suffering. Look at the sorrow. That's how you know that God does not exist. Where is he right now? Why isn't he answering my prayers? Why isn't he answering where I need help? How come he let my mother die at such a young age? There's no God. He doesn't answer anybody's prayers. And if you go to your Bible and say, well, he became man and took on our flesh, it's like, well, that's convenient. We're going to label God now a man. How does that help? You can't prove that God exists. And everything in the Bible points to the fact that it's by faith that you believe. Faith is not proof.
Okay, Neil's closing statement there. Nathaniel, you're up. Your closing statement.
Well, I'm actually glad that you brought up the fact that God did a messy job, Neil, because that actually points to the evidence of sin, which exactly is what the Bible points us to also. You see, here's the difference between you and me in our approach on this particular topic. I have offered an explanation to what we see in the world, and you haven't. You haven't given an explanation for where did life come from. And here ultimately is the difference between your view and my view, that if there is no God, then life is meaningless, you are without significance, and you have absolutely no value, and neither do I. Life means nothing, it has no value, it has no significance apart from God. But if God did exist, and he did create you and me, which is what, again, the evidence points to, then we are significant, we do have meaning, and we do have value to God. And we were valued by God so much that he did send his son into the world in order to fix the messy problem of sin. That's what God has done for us. He has redeemed us from sin and from death through his son, giving us hope. And so ultimately, you have to answer that question, where did I come from, with something more than just your own faith in the existence of a Big Bang. That doesn't make any sense either. God does exist, and he has revealed himself to us in his son.
Okay. Nicely done, gentlemen. Good work. Our debate now ends. You can take the gloves off. We have reached our affirmative and oppositional statements on the topic of the existence of God. Now we're going to pause here for our listeners here. We're going to take a break. The debate's over. Now we're going to jump back in, the three of us as pastors, and kind of recap the debate, talk about what we thought was strong, maybe weak, and hopefully learn a little bit about this topic and how to approach it with others. So, Neil, I'll let you start off the discussion here. What was your thought of some of Nathaniel's arguments? Anything in particular that caught you off guard? Anything that was hard to respond to? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought Nathaniel did a great job. You know, typically when I'm discussing things with people, I'm on the other side of the conversation. So obviously the atheist is usually coming to me with different scientific facts. So to have a Christian do that did catch me off guard a little bit at first, because now he's coming to me with the scientific proof that there is a God, so to speak. But that's why I shifted gears what I originally was going to do, and that idea of just focusing on, okay, most of the time when I'm talking with someone about these things that might be an atheist, you know, we don't always stay at one focused spot. So the whole idea is, okay, how are we moving on to the next part? You know, the Christian wants to label who God is. And so I thought that was a healthy part of that debate, is like, who are we labeling who was there? You know, and I think Nathaniel did a good job, you know, towards the end, just really pointing out that, you know, it had to be someone that was there, an intelligent being, to get things going. In the very least, to get things going. I don't believe in you know, God starting evolution and walking away, that theistic evolution. I don't believe in that. But, you know, that whole idea, and I know Nathaniel doesn't either, but that whole idea of, you know, pointing people back to where did I come from? You know, and I tried to escalate, you know, the idea from going from science to faith to, like, now my personal problem with the existence of God. And I think that's ultimately where people get to, is that, why do I reject that there's a God? And ultimately, I think it comes back to the morality of God, and how could he be a loving God? And ultimately, you get back to that point at some point or another. And I try to escalate my emotion a little bit more, too, because that's generally been my experience in my own heart when I'm talking with someone. I get pretty emotional after a while, and I know so do they, too. So, you know, I could argue Nathaniel's last comments, too, the meaningless of life. I think you have a lot of atheists that wouldn't say that their life is meaningless. They do a lot of good for other people. So that, and then the fixing the problem of sin, I think, was probably my favorite point of the whole presentation, is that if God exists, this is a messy creation. What is he going to do to sort it out? I think that was probably my favorite point of the whole thing.
Nathaniel, what was your reaction to the debate? Anything that Neil said that really got you to think, or maybe threw you off your game? You seem pretty comfortable throughout, but what was your reaction?
I'm just glad that Neil took that side and I didn't have to. To be honest, I mean, Neil had a tough job, because ultimately the atheist doesn't have anything to stand on. And Neil did a good job of presenting the atheist argument. The problem is it doesn't have much hope. Ultimately, they have to go back and they have to point and say, you Christians, you're depending on your faith. Guess what? The atheist has to do the same thing. They just put their faith in something else. So it's a really hard proposition to actually defend. And Neil did a really good job pointing out what the atheist viewpoint is, that, you know, you're just dependent on your faith, but it's circular reasoning for them. And it is hard to actually present something that's rational, that makes any sense. So it actually helped me, I think, Neil, when you put in at the end there the problem of sin, because I think that, like you pointed out, that is one of the strongest arguments for the Christian, is how did God address? You'll hear that often among atheists. This is a messy world that God created, but that falls right into the Christian's wheelhouse, because God did deal with the problem of sin, and that points right to the whole purpose of why we have the Bible and what God did for us in Christ.
Here's one thought I had. Nathaniel, as far as I can remember here in the debate, you only referenced one Bible passage. That was Hebrews 3, verse 4. Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. For the Christian who's listening and wondering, why didn't you cite more Bible passages, what would your response to that be?
First of all, I was on the aggressive side. There would be a lot of passages that I probably would bring in. One of those would be, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What I tried to do, Mark, without quoting Bible passages, you might notice that as I was going through there, I did refer to or summarize Bible passages, but without actually quoting them. So, you know, I didn't actually mention the reference. Well, actually, I did for that one. I did mention Hebrews 3, verse 4. But I think sometimes with an atheist, you have to be really careful. If you just start quoting the Bible, that might turn them off. So my approach has been, I'm going to refer to the Bible, and I'm going to bring up points that the Bible makes, but without saying, hey, this is in Proverbs, or this is in Psalms, or this is in Romans, because a lot of times that might turn them off. So I want to be able to make use of what God says without actually saying this is where it's found. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I wasn't opposed to your approach there. I thought it was a strength,
right?
Because this is one of those topics where God gives us evidence outside of the Bible. You know, if we're talking about,
right,
if our debate's on the salvation of the world, we shouldn't be quoting things outside the Bible. But here's one of those topics where even the Bible itself says that God has given us evidence in the world around us, in our consciences, and we touched on those things. So I thought your approach is actually quite valid, even if you didn't intend it that way, that for the Christian who's talking about these things, you don't have to be ready to cite chapter and verse on this kind of a topic. You can appeal to some of those natural things, because God tells us in His Word that He designed the world that way with those evidences in place. And mentioning the two natural laws that you did, mentioning that the design of the world beckons to the creation by somebody. I think you mentioned 122 constants in order for life to exist. Those are the tools that you can use as a Christian in this kind of debate. And I think you kind of have to. And you have to be ready to cite those things as a Christian. You don't have to be a scientist, but just using some of those natural things that God has put into the creation. That, to me, is the difference between the atheist position on this and the Christian position on it. Because as you mentioned appropriately at the end, Nathaniel, in your closing statement, Neil has not offered any explanation. And it's not Neil's fault, because there is no explanation on the atheist end. But that's the difference, is the Christian doesn't necessarily have to just take it on blind faith from the Bible. They can cite. There is evidence on the Christian position, whereas there isn't any on the atheist position. And that, to me, is a huge difference between the two. Neil went where most atheists will probably go in this debate, and that's ultimately to the moral aspect of it, that I don't want to believe there's a creator God, because if I do, there's going to be implications for my morality and for my life. And so going to the corrupt fallenness of the world is where they often go to argue against God. But even that, it's almost as if God designed that into it, that argument itself flows perfectly into the gospel, into an entrance of the gospel there, into this debate about the natural world around us. That's a perfect segue to the gospel. So it's really a topic that's right in the wheelhouse for Christians to be able to debate and to be able to talk to people about.
Right. Just a quick comment, Mark, just for our listeners. The approach that I took in this debate, these are pretty common among Christian debaters. So the first point that I made is sometimes called the cosmological argument, dealing with where did the world come from. The second point that I made is called the teleological argument, which is dealing with the fact that there is design that can be seen. And that's a common approach throughout the centuries of Christians. And then the last one, as you pointed, is the moral argument. All three of those, I think, are very strong arguments of Christians against the atheistic view. So if anybody wants more information, they can look those up. You can find information on those all over the place.
One last question for Neil. Now that you can come back to the Christian perspective, is there anything you would have added as a Christian if you were maybe in Nathaniel's position?
You know, I think he did. I don't know if I would have changed a whole lot with what he did, but as you notice, I pulled out a couple scientific tools from my tool belt, and I clearly showed that I was outmatched. Nathaniel had more scientific tools, and I think my observation and my own discussions with people in the past is that I want to get out of that conversation as fast as possible as a Christian. I don't want to continue to examine those tools, because I know faith in God is not going to come. I'm not downplaying anything Nathaniel did, but we can keep looking at our shiny scientific tools as evidence for our beliefs. But I want to get into Scripture as soon as possible, because I know that the Holy Spirit's going to work through the Word of God, whether I'm quoting the actual verse or reference or not, like Nathaniel was not doing. I thought that was good. Ultimately, I'm going to point them back to the sin and their Savior. And so as soon as I can get out of that, you know, let's debate these stars forming. No, I don't need to do that. Let's get in. How can I get the conversation into more important topics and discussions? And what ultimately Nathaniel and I went to is the mess of the world and how God provides the solution.
Good thought. How about you, Nathaniel? If you were on Neil's side with the debate, are there any arguments you've encountered from the atheist perspective that are particularly difficult to respond to as a Christian?
No, I thought Neil did a really good job. Probably the one that I have struggled with the most is dealing with stars. And there are a couple of arguments on both sides for that particular issue. But I think, you know, by and large, all of the arguments that the atheist has regarding the existence of God fall short when you compare them to the Christian worldview. So I thought Neil did a good job. He did bring in, and you'll notice I didn't address the whole one with stars for the very reason that Neil just stated. I didn't want to get into that. I think the Christian does have an argument for the existence of stars and how you can explain that, but it does detract ultimately from what our ultimate purpose is. So the Christians do have good responses. There are good responses to each one of those arguments from Christianity. But again, the ultimate purpose is to direct them back to the goal, and that is to find Christ.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that we should let the argument or let the discussion just center on those natural things, but I do think that Christians need to have a response ready for them and be willing to talk about them and not just resort just to a scripture passage right away, but you know, use the reason and logic that God gave you. It's a tool, and it can be a very effective tool as well.
Just knowing that the Christian has a response, I think, is half the battle.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well done, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for that debate. And we thank our listeners again for tuning in. Continue to check in at Burden and Blessing for a variety of different types of podcasts. We'll definitely continue our debate series on several different topics. If you haven't yet, subscribe to our podcast so you can get it directly to your email. And tune in next time for our next recording.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.